I think before hiring for him, though, NSF was probably typical around the federal government. It was taking over 100 days to hire somebody, sometimes well over 120. We're down now to the 80 to 90 day. The federal government targets kind of get it under 80 days or around 80 days. So we're right about there now. So rather than taking 6 months to hire somebody, you know, we're taking maybe two or three. And I think as we get more and more used to the process and more into it, we will continue to shrink that time frame for getting somebody on board.
And what does that mean in terms of being competitive? Because I gather you're talking about scientists and others who are in demand from, say, academia or private groups.
Most of our staff that we do NSF that we are hiring are very technical: science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, or what we call the STEM talent pool. And that talent pool is not real large, especially in the United States. You know, we're trying to help grow it. At NSF, through grants, we actually are trying to encourage starting in kindergarten all the way through college and post-degrees, masters and doctorates, for people to get into the STEM field. So, but then once they're there, you're absolutely right. We're in competition. We're not only in competition with other agencies that also want those same STEM talent, but with academia, industry, I think it's a very competitive hiring environment for us right now. So NSF, what we do is when we go out and recruit, you know, we do try to talk up the brand name of NSF and the federal government. Now you take the, kind of the federal government bashing that we've had, at least, you know, the bashing of the federal civil servant, that also makes it a little bit harder. So then, and the fact that we have had salary freezes and budget cuts. So, you know, if I'm sitting on the outside, I'm thinking, why would anyone want to come work for the federal government? But overall, we do offer, a good job, a valuable job, a job that gives value not only to the individual, but allows the individual to give back to the community. In the case of NSF, back to basic science and research that has just global implications for the future on some of the research that we fund. So we appeal then to that STEM talent to say, hey, come work at NSF and you can make a difference. You know, you can make and that hopefully, you know, gets around some of the negative aspects that currently seem to be surrounding the federal civil service. But
we're speaking with Gene Hubbard. He's Chief Human Capital Officer at the National Science Foundation. And when you talk about trying to grow that STEM workforce, it sounds almost like you need to do some branding of the NSF, starting with kids in kindergarten, right? So they get to know the name. They get to think of that as a place to work when they're old enough to seek work.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, somewhere, I mean, right now, if you look at some of our sister technical agencies, now the one that always comes up is NASA, right? Everybody wants to work in
NASA. NASA's the cool agency. Yeah,
absolutely. That's right. You know, you got astronauts, you got rovers on Mars. As a matter of fact, I used to work there. I worked at NASA for 4.5 years. So it is a cool agency. It's a great place to work. And kids know NASA, right? You could be in a first grade or a second grade classroom and they know NASA. They've never heard of the National Science Foundation. So we are trying to get that brand out there and encourage them. You know, and by the way, if we can encourage them into the STEM field and they go work at NASA, that's great too. But if they come to work at NSF, that's even better for us. So we are trying to get that brand name out there. For us, you know, a lot of people don't even understand that National Science Foundation is actually a government organization. You know, a lot of people think it's a private foundation, privately funded, you know, quasi-government organization, whatever. But we are a government organization. So I'm not sure. Sometimes I think about the branding. You know, is it good if we say that we're a government organization, or if we're good if we let everybody think whatever they want to think? But as we get that brand out there, if we can get that out there early so that when they go to college, they're thinking, hey, I'd really like to go into a science, engineering, or mathematics field, or even in the education field, and then graduate, go on and get a post-college degree, post-bachelor's degree, and then think, because what I really want to do is work for the National Science Foundation. Eventually I want to do that, and like I said, bring something back to the community with some of the science research that we can fund.
You're getting more applications now than before also. How are you in HR coping with all this to make sure that you don't slow things down when hiring reform is supposed to speed up everything?
Right, so that's a good question. You know, we are looking at a lot of technology solutions, you know, for assessment of some of the applications that come in. We use a lot of other tools. You know, we are very involved in hiring veterans, disabled employees. But to narrow down the applicants, it's primarily looking at technology. You know, how can we leverage technology to reduce some of that workload on HR, but yet still ensure that the pool that we end up with are the highly qualified candidates.
Yeah, there has to be a human brain behind that somewhere, right?
Always, and you can't substitute that. If we can narrow it down, though, and if we can give a hiring manager, you know, 10 to 30 really high qualified candidates, they can narrow it down further based on what they want. The other thing that we do is we partner very much with the actual hiring manager. So with that scientist, that engineer, saying, what are you really looking for in an employee? And by doing that, when we review the resumes or use the technology to review the resumes, we can hopefully focus in on that particular need for that position. So working with, you know, partnering with the rest of NSF, not just the HR community, but the rest of NSF, is very important and I think critical for us to get the right people in the right spots.
You're active on the CHECO Council, the Chief Human Capital Officers Council. In terms of hiring reform, is the council going to be moving things forward in the next year or so, and how so?
I think so. I hope so. And, you know, the CHECO Council is very good, and I applaud OPM and a lot of the things that they're doing to try to increase hiring reform. I think right now we also have to let some things run and see how they work. Are the current initiatives making a difference? And then if so, where do we go next? You know, where do we take it further? And maybe through more robust technology or a different process. The CHECO Council is also looking at skill gaps and critical skill gaps. And they've identified 5 areas where we have critical skill gaps. And then a 6th one, which is the STEM workforce I talked about, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So now we have working groups on the CHECO Council that are looking at each of those areas where there are critical skill gaps and trying to determine innovative ways or even just improving current processes to be able to fill those skill gaps across the federal government. And I'm really looking forward to some of the results of those working groups and the CHECO Council taking that on and moving forward some initiatives to fill critical skill gaps that we all have.
Okay, so we'll look for some initiatives there in the next year or so.
I hope so. I would think so, as a matter of fact.